Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Elderly Disabled LTC Transition Conference Call. At this time, all participants' lines are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Kim Burnham. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. This is Kim Burnham, Director of Eligibility for KDHE. I just want to thank LaTonya Palmer for handling the last rapid response call. So let's go ahead and get started. This is our fifth eligibility transition rapid response call. And with each of them, I just give a brief overview of what's happening. We have new participants that are calling in, and it's just good to level set with them. So essentially, KDHE is assuming full responsibility for processing elderly, disabled, and long-term care medical programs. And that has to be done effective January 1st of 2020. We started in September of 2019, slowly phasing in the workload for that. And we should be finally done very beginning of December 2019 with having everything phased over from our eligibility contractor, Maximus, to KDHE. And remember, this is for the medical programs for the elderly, disabled, and long-term care. Maximus will continue to process the family medical eligibility cases. And just to make sure that this transition is going smoothly and to make sure that we're hearing as quickly as possible any issues that might emerge, we wanted to have these calls on a weekly basis, and these are being held every Wednesday at 10 a.m., and we're going to do this through December 18th, 2019. I have State KDHE on the phone along with Maximus staff in case they are needed to answer any questions or provide any updates or announcements. And also, just to let you know, for transparency purposes, we do record these calls, and there is a transcript that's made available on our CanCare website, which is www.cancare.ks.gov. So the next thing I'm going to do is move into our current status. On September 3rd, we assumed responsibility for the first part of the workload transition, which was around 40 nursing facilities. We continually meet with Maximus on a couple days a week to make sure that everything's going smoothly with that transition and making sure we're getting the workload and processing. On October 1st, another phase of the workload was transitioned to the state. We added 100 more nursing or 100 more facilities. We started processing the psychiatric residential treatment facility cases. Consumers who have a review for what we refer to as our elderly and disabled medical programs, those would be people with a Medicare savings program or a spend down. The state has accepted responsibility for those. And we're also processing any case maintenance associated with home and community-based service cases. On our last call, there was a lot of great questions and input. And I just want to provide an update on some of those questions we had so you know that we're being responsive. The first question we received was from Elizabeth with Parallon. And so what we did with that is our assistant eligibility director, LaTonya Palmer, who was the speaker last time, she made sure that Elizabeth has her information, and we're getting additional information from Elizabeth with Parallon to make sure we're addressing her concerns. She did express concerns with the call center. Those have been discussed with Maximus, and a resolution's in progress. The second question came from Linda Mowbray with KHCA. There was a request for numbers regarding workload and if we had seen any decreases in the workload. So From September 3rd, 2019 to October 1st, 2019, the workload associated with the nursing facility unit one, and that was the one that was the first to transition September 3rd, and the state has about a month in that we've been processing everything associated with nursing facilities in this unit. The workload decreased by 44% in 1 month. So we went from 814 tasks down to 382. We hope to be able to, we plan on being able to provide that type of data going forward. In October, we had two nursing facility units, unit two and three, transition over, and that was about 100 nursing facilities, and we'll be able to provide that same type of data. The third question or inquiry we received from Sarah Pears. LaTanya, our assistant eligibility director, provided her email to Sarah and is waiting for specifics from Sarah to get information on her concern so that we can make sure to follow up and obtain resolution. The fourth was from Vallejo. There was reported call center concerns, and again, we went back to Maximus and to discuss this, and a resolution is in progress. And then the fifth was from Kelly with Midland Group, and they also had asked about call center concerns. And again, we are getting that addressed, and we'll be able to share that once we get that completed. Also with Kelly, we provided a review of the transition of the workload. So that's an update from last week's questions. And again, we really appreciate the participation. And I think at this time, what we'll do is we'll go ahead and open up the line for any questions.
All right, as a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. Once again, that is star, then the number 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, you may press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Once again, that is star, then the number 1 to ask a question. We have a question from Karen Scott. Karen, your line is now open.
Yes, I'm with OCCK in Salina, and I work with folks that have the HCBS DD waiver. And so do you know yet when you're transitioning those folks with the DD waiver before December 31st?
Hi, Karen. Yes. So right now, the state has always processed HCBS applications. I don't know if you're familiar with a gentleman by the name of Russell Knittler. He is the senior manager of eligibility. I supervise him. His group has been the one that has processed HCBS applications since the beginning. So Maximus has not processed the applications. When we're done processing the application, then if there's ongoing maintenance that has to be completed by an eligibility worker, that was being done by Maximus. So on October 1st, any case maintenance that needs to occur for an HCBS eligibility case is now the responsibility of the state. So that just started on December 1st. So state staff process the application. State staff process if there's updates or, for instance, say there's a medical expense that's being reported and it needs to be applied to the patient liability for reduction, state staff will handle that. When it comes to reviews, HCBS reviews, so we are required to annually review an individual's eligibility for Medicaid. That, for HCBS reviews, that will be transitioned over in November. So that right now we're kind of in, we are doing about two-thirds of the work now. And then that last piece of reviews will come over to the state November 1st.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. Yes, that's what I meant, the Medicaid for folks on HCBS DD waiver. I'm familiar with, I know who Russell is and that they actually do the HCBS. Yeah, but it's the those folks have the Medicaid, and currently the clearinghouse handles the Medicaid eligibility.
Right. So if someone's not, are you talking about someone that's not currently on HCBS but maybe on receiving Medicaid either through a spin down or some other means, and then they would become eligible? Who handles that?
No, mainly we mainly have folks that are already on the DD waiver,
uh-huh.
and we help them with their Medicaid eligibility and their annual reviews.
So
I probably didn't ask that correctly. So I wanted to know, you know, is the Medicaid part already switched over to KDHE, and who do we contact? Do our individuals, do we need to start sending things there to KDHE?
Well, what we've done is we've tried to keep the infrastructure not change it right now to kind of, you know, keep it as similar as possible so that we weren't creating a really big change for everybody. So what we've done with the call center is we still ask that individuals reach out to the call center. And then if it's a case that the state is responsible for, then the call center will transition it to the correct unit to handle that. One of the things that we're doing with this transition and for the state is that we are offering a enhanced customer service experience where we will have eligibility workers available to talk to the actual individual. So you continue to use the call center, and then if it's a case that the state staff are responsible for, they will make sure to transition it to the unit that's handling that case.
Okay. And I don't want to assume that but is when you say call center, do you mean CanCare Clearinghouse?
I mean the CanCare Clearinghouse call center, so the 1-800
yes.
number, yes.
yes.
I mean,
okay.
we kept that the same, the address, the fax number,
okay.
You know, but, yeah, just call that. And then part of the rapid response calls is to hear how things are going because there may need to be little changes that we have to make, you know, going forward. So I appreciate you being on the line, and I know you'll let us know how those things are going so that we can make those adjustments.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Karen.
Yes, thank you.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, you will need to press star, then the number 1 on your telephone. We have a question from Billy Orr. Billy, your line is now open.
Hi, this is Billy Orr with Stotler Hayes Group, and our firm assists a lot of long-term care facilities with their Medicaid applications. And someone reached out to us yesterday and said that they are just having a lot of trouble figuring out what's going on with applications, that they used to have a specific contact that they work with, and now they've been told, and I have very, very, I don't have a lot of detail, I'm sorry, because I just heard about this yesterday, but that they have been told that they shouldn't contact those people anymore, but had been told the applications were pending, and then when they're calling the call center, they're being told the applications were denied, but they weren't getting denial notices. And I think in just even just one of these facilities, which is in Overland Park, there were like 15 of those in like a one-month time period. So I don't know if there's a way we can get a contact person for them to go to try to work some of this out, or kind of where we need to go to get that fixed.
Yeah, Billy, and who did you say you were with? I'm sorry.
I'm with a law firm called Stotler Hayes Group.
Okay. So let me explain how we've handled this situation with the nursing facilities. So we've tried to communicate on every level to ensure that the nursing facilities are fully aware of what's happening with the transition and who to contact. We started with the Nursing Facility Association. I have monthly calls with them. I provide them emails. They ask me questions. I've also presented at their the three associations that are involved. I've presented at their conferences that have, you know, their members, the nursing facilities at those conferences. Also, what we've done is we've reached out to each individual nursing home and have made phone calls. And if we can't reach them, we've reached out to the associations to help us make sure that they understand the importance of talking to us. So we've talked to each individual nursing home, advised them of what's going on with the transition, requested any pending work that needs to be done prior to them coming on board with the state. We've also followed up with an email. We've also followed up with a teleconference, a welcome webinar with them, and this has you know, this has seems to have worked really well. So what I'll need to know from you, Billy, is I think we'll take this offline, and I'll get your phone number, and I'll follow up with you. I need to understand the facilities that are reporting to you issues, and then I will work with those facilities and with the Nursing Facility Association also, because we've really tried to overly communicate. So if we have facilities that are still confused, then we need to follow up with and make sure they truly know who they need to contact. So I really appreciate you letting me know, because for the most part, it's worked really well, but we have some of those outliers that we need to do more follow-up with to ensure they're understanding the process. Can I get your phone number, and then I'll reach out to you?
Sure. It is 816-304-4583. And I would say that, just so that you don't think that I was implying that, I'm sure you guys are doing a great job of getting the word out. I think a lot of it is when we see this a lot when we have nursing facilities that have out-of-state corporations that own them, and it's just a matter of everyone communicating with each other on their end.
I appreciate that, Billy, because this helps us and make sure that we're reaching all those levels, because a lot of times we try to make sure we're talking to the corporate level and then talking to the administrator and then talking to the people that actually do the work in the business office. So I have seen where there's disconnects from the corporate, and I've seen it from the administrator to the business office. So that's why I'm interested in knowing this, so that we can make sure all three lines of that business are fully aware and working together. So, because that's going to make this transition successful and our partnership successful with the facility. So, again, I appreciate it. I just wanted – I know we have other people online, and I always like to educate everybody on all the things that we're trying to do to make this successful, and that, you know, if there's some things that we need to do differently, we certainly want to know that. So, again, thank you so much for being on the line.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. There are no further questions at the moment. Please continue. Presenters, there are no further questions. You may continue.
Sorry about that.
Presenters, there are no further questions. You may continue.
I think at this time, you know, we've waited about a minute and a half to see if there's any other questions. I think at this point, we'll go ahead and close the conference out. And I just want to say, I just want to thank Karen and Billy for reaching out and asking those questions. We want to hear from you. We want to make this make any changes we need to make or be aware of anything, good or bad. We like to hear good stuff too, but we definitely want to nip things in the bud before it gets out of hand. And so thank you again for being on the call and taking time out of your day to spend with us. So I think at this point, I think we're done with the conference call, and we will definitely hopefully hear from you next Wednesday at 10 a.m.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect. Mm-hmm.